This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to VOA Africa. Thank you for joining us. I'm Yehias Wuhib in Washington. Here's what's coming up on Africa News Tonight.
This is really worrying because this shows that climate change has played a key role in facilitating the spread of the vector, the mosquitoes, down south. And then when people travel, naturally the virus goes along with them.
That's Raman Valiudan, head of WHO's Global Program on Control of Neglected Tropical Diseases, on how climate change is contributing to the spread of dengue and other diseases. Details coming up. Also, influential women leaders in Zambia have joined to advocate for urgent sustainable climate action. And hundreds of people protested in the Tunisian capital yesterday. All these and more on Africa News Tonight. We start with our top story. In South Africa, the Pretoria High Court tomorrow starts hearing court challenges to plans to terminate residency permits for nearly 180,000 Zimbabweans at the end of June. The Helen Suzman Foundation and other advocacy groups want the court to set aside the cabinet decision to terminate the permits, arguing it was done improperly. Tusoko Malo reports from Johannesburg.
The outcome of the South African court case will have far-reaching consequences for tens of thousands of the Zimbabwean immigrants and their families. Divashni Naidu is a researcher at the Helen Suzman Foundation, a non-profit advocacy group for human rights and the rule of law. Naidu told VOA the group argues the Minister of Home Affairs did not follow the law because it did not consult with stakeholders before deciding to cancel what are known as Zimbabwe Exemption Permits or ZEP. The foundation asks the court to set aside the decision and order a proper consultation.
178,000 people have 1 year to leave the country and go back to a place they haven't been to for the last decade. Many of these people have children. Some of those children have never been to Zimbabwe. They don't even know what that's like. All they've ever known is South Africa and the country we have here.
However, Home Affairs Minister Aaron Motsoaledi has told the media that his department will strongly defend its decision because the permits were intended to be temporal.
I don't think it's fair to want people to remain temporary forever when their lives are moving. I think you must also understand that we are doing this as a positive thing.
Simpiwe Shabangu, a leader of Operation Dudula, an anti-foreigner group, says its members will protest outside the court to support termination of the permits.
If you are not welcome in the country anymore, why do you want to stay by force? They must go back to their country and fix their issues in their own countries.
However, Zimbabwean national Nosisa Chuma says going back to Zimbabwe is not an option.
The only thing they must do is just to change everyone, these 178 people, to permanent residents only.
She says there is no work in Zimbabwe and her two children have only attended South African schools, so it would be hard for them to move. In 2008, election-related violence in Zimbabwe, together with the country's steep economic decline, forced men to flee to neighboring South Africa. In 2009, the government decided to issue these Zimbabweans with work, study and business permits. Last year, Minister Motsoaledi announced plans to terminate the permits. It is now up to the court to decide if the plan should be put on hold. The court hearing is expected to end on Friday. Reporting for VOA News in Johannesburg, I am Tusoko Malo.
Hundreds of people protested in the Tunisian capital yesterday for the release of about 20 people arrested during a demonstration against the government of President Kais Saied. The French news agency AFP says about 300 demonstrators waved Tunisian flags and carried large signs with images of the president's detained critics. They include politicians, former ministers, businessmen, trade unionists, and the owner of the country's most popular station, Mosaki FM. Said, who took office in 2021 and has steadily expanded his powers, calls them terrorists involved in the conspiracy against state security. Amnesty International and local human rights organizations say the detainees were arrested on unfounded allegations and should be released immediately. World economic recovery is still elusive, according to International Monetary Fund Managing Director Kristalina Georgieva. At the opening session of the IMF World Bank Spring meeting today in Washington, Georgieva said the world still has a significant inflation problem. That means central banks have to continue to keep interest rates higher to combat inflation and restore prospects for robust growth. She said she expects global growth to remain below 3% for the year and remain around 3% for the next 5 years.
That does not give us high hope for meeting the aspirations of people, especially poor people around the world, and most importantly, poor people in poor countries.
Georgieva said despite remarkable resiliency of consumer spending in the United States and Europe, the outlook is not great for poor countries. World Bank Group President David Malpass said it is important that there be more investment in small businesses and new businesses, especially in developing countries. Authorities in Cameroon have rebuilt a bridge that Boko Haram militants destroyed in 2015 in an effort to damage trade with Nigeria and Chad. The government also deployed additional troops to protect construction workers, repairing other damage caused by the militants who are still actively launching attacks in the border area. Moki Edwin Kinzeka reports from Yaoundé, Cameroon.
Cameroon says it has, for the first time in 8 years, fully opened the Mayo-Limani Bridge that links northern Cameroon and southeastern Nigeria. Bishai Hashmi is a traditional ruler of Limani.
Aujourd'hui, le pont est rétabli avec la route qui a...
Bishai says civilians, especially merchants, were celebrating the full reopening this Monday of the 120-meter-long Mayo-Limani Bridge that links Amchide in Cameroon and Limani in Nigeria. He says people are grateful because economic activity will receive a boost on both sides of the border after 8 years of almost no activity. Bishai spoke during a meeting in Yaoundé Monday to evaluate the Cameroonian government-sponsored projects on the northern border with Chad and Nigeria that experienced Boko Haram attacks. Amchide is a commercial town on Cameroon's northern border with Nigeria. Limani is a business hub in Nigeria's Borno State. The Nigerian government says Borno State is an epicenter of Boko Haram terrorism. Cameroon says militants commit atrocities on both sides of the Cameroon-Nigeria border. Huge portions of the Mayo-Limani Bridge collapsed in August 2015 during battles between the Cameroonian military and Boko Haram militants. Cameroon said it lost several troops and that dozens of militants were killed in several weeks of fighting. Several hundred vehicles could no longer cross the road each day, the Cameroonian government said. Chad, Cameroon and Nigeria say at least 400 merchants and 600 civilians from the three neighboring states cross the Mayo-Limani Bridge each day. Cameroon says it collected over $16 million annually as custom duties in the area before the bridge crumbled in 2015. Cameroon spent an estimated $3 million to rebuild the span that same year, but Boko Haram militants chased construction workers away, forcing officials to stop pedestrians from crossing the bridge, which is also a gateway to Nigeria for goods from Chad. Cameroon's government said it also closed the bridge because Boko Haram fighters were infiltrating merchants and civilians to use the bridge as an entry point to attack Cameroon. Construction work on the bridge fully began in 2018 under the protection of troops of the Multinational Joint Task Force of the Lake Chad Basin Commission, or MNJTF. The force has troops from Nigeria, Niger, Cameroon, and Chad. The government announced on Friday that construction work is complete and that the MNJTF will continue to protect the bridge. Last week, Cameroon's Public Works Minister, Emmanuel Nganou Djoumissi, led a delegation of senior government and military officials to the bridge and other roads the Central African State government is rebuilding on its northern border with Chad and Nigeria. Djoumissi says Cameroonian President Paul Biya wants all infrastructure destroyed in battles with Boko Haram to be rebuilt. He says by constructing roads and bridges, commercial exchanges among Cameroon, Chad, and Nigeria will improve, economic growth will be boosted, and the well-being of civilians who have been living in abject poverty because of Boko Haram terrorism will be improved. The Cameroon military says although Boko Haram atrocities are greatly reduced, more troops will be deployed to protect civilians and workers on the northern border, where hardly a day goes by without reports of attacks on workers. The conflict that began in northeast Nigeria in 2009, before spreading to neighboring countries, including Cameroon, Chad, and Niger, has killed more than 36,000 people, mainly in Nigeria, and 3 million people have fled their homes, according to the United Nations. Moki Edwin Kinzeka, for VOA News, Yaoundé, Cameroon.
You're listening to Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America. The World Health Organization warns climate change is causing a global rise in mosquito-borne infections such as dengue, Zika, and chikungunya. Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
Arboviruses spread by mosquitoes have spread dramatically around the world in recent decades. For example, the World Health Organization reports cases of dengue fever increased from just over 500,000 cases in 2000 to 5.2 million in 2019. And the trend continues. Latest data show about half of the world's population now is at risk of dengue, the most common viral infection that mosquitoes spread to people, with an estimated 100 to 400 million infections every year. Many of them are in Africa. Raman Velayudan is head of WHO's Global Program on Control of Neglected Tropical Diseases. He says in South America, dengue is expanding further south to countries such as Bolivia, Peru, and Paraguay.
This is really worrying because this shows that climate change has played a key role in facilitating the spread of the vector, the mosquitoes, down south. And then when people travel, naturally the virus goes along with them. And this trend is likely to continue for the rest of the world. And we have already got reports from Sudan, which has recorded a quite high increase in dengue cases, over 8,000 cases and 45 deaths since July.
Chikungunya is a virus spread by Aedes mosquitoes, which are found on nearly all continents. The disease can cause chronic disabilities and severely impact the quality of life. MDPI, a publisher of Open Access Scientific Journals, reported there's been a new emergence and reemergence of arboviruses in Africa, including dengue, Zika, chikungunya, and yellow fever. And the WHO notes Africa experiences the most malaria cases and deaths in the world. WHO technical lead for Zika and chikungunya, Diana Rojas Alvarez, says cases of chikungunya in the Americas have increased from 50,000 in 2022 to 135,000 this year. She says the virus is circulating out of the usual endemic areas in South America and is spreading in other regions of the world.
So now we are seeing transmission where we didn't see it before. So, but we should be prepared to detect some cases during spring and summer in Europe and in the Northern Hemisphere, also in Southeast Asia, because the the arbovirus season starts later there. It's usually when the summer season starts.
Major risk factors behind the rising number of arbovirus outbreaks around the world include climate change, deforestation, urbanization, and increased movement of people and goods. WHO experts say mosquito-borne infections put all populations at risk. However, it is the most vulnerable members of society who are most endangered. They call on countries to increase surveillance to monitor and detect the transmission of arboviruses. They urge affected communities to eliminate mosquito breeding sites in and around homes and to use mosquito repellent to protect themselves against these potentially fatal vector-borne viral diseases. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Zambia is being hard hit by climate change, which is causing more frequent and severe droughts, flash floods, and changes in the growing seasons. But a group of women leaders in the corporate world have joined hands to advocate for urgent, sustainable climate action in Zambia. Kathy Short reports from Lusaka.
Zambia has joined the list of a few African countries considering innovative green financing approaches to climate change. They include trading credits from emission reduction projects or carbon trading and green bonds to finance adaptation and sustainable development projects. Green financing is a loan or investment that supports activities such as buying environmentally friendly goods and services or building environmentally friendly infrastructure. Green infrastructure is a term used to describe the network of natural spaces and corridors in a given area, including open spaces such as parks and gardens, fields, hedges, lakes, ponds, and playing fields. In the past 2 months alone, Zambia has suffered devastating floods which have destroyed key infrastructure and livestock, leaving more than 400,000 people homeless, impacting negatively on the economy. This is why the Women Leaders in Climate Change Network have come together to help women fight the problem. Most of the 100 women in the network come from the finance sector. Some are climate change campaigners who champion corporate action against the problem. The network seeks to enhance women's resilience to climate change by eliminating gender gaps in accessing climate finance in Zambia. It is also focused on raising the voices of women and communities impacted by climate change. Their group, Women Leaders for Climate Action, aims to amplify the voices and solutions of women whose lives are at risk due to changing temperatures and weather patterns. Mundia Mutumboi is one of the representatives of the group. She's also a director of market supervision and development at the Lusaka Stock Exchange. She told VOA she joined the movement because of her desire to protect the environment.
And really, I find it very easy to subscribe and commit to noble agendas that bring about transformation in the well-being of human beings and just our environment. So really, for me, passion is what makes me tick.
Mutumboi's interest in climate change was sparked by an environmental protection course she attended in Sweden.
Before I gained the knowledge and I was sensitized on issues to do with climate change, and I must give credit to the Swedish Institute Management Program that I attended in 2018. Before then, I thought this was an agenda for just a select group of people, the scientists, the environmentalists, and not accountants or financial markets players that we are.
Mutumboi and her team of leaders is advocating for green investments in the financial sector.
We now have in place a tripartite working group, and tripartite because the Zambian sector has three financial sector regulators, and so we've come together and formed this working group that now is the focal point for driving initiatives towards green financing in the Zambian sector. Around this by the capital markets players, which is the vision to position Zambia as a global green investment hub.
The group Women Leaders for Climate Action is working on initiatives to include more women advocates as well as promote environmentally friendly policies. According to the United Nations, gender inequality coupled with the climate crisis poses threats to people's way of life, livelihoods, health, safety, and security for women and girls. Women's and girls' health is endangered by climate change and disasters by limiting access to services and health care, as well as increasing risks related to maternal and child health. For VOA News, I'm Kathy Short, Lusaka, Zambia.
Thousands of people in at least two towns in Ethiopia demonstrated over plans to integrate regional special forces into the police or national military. Reuters says last week's order affects the country's 11 regions, which have their own armies and the right to use their own language. However, the plan has been poorly received in the second largest region, Amhara, where special forces fired their weapons into the sky all night in protest. A media outlet run by the region's government quoted Amhara President Yilika Al-Kafale as saying the order was being misunderstood as a call for disarmament of the special forces. He says it is instead a move to organize regional forces under federal security in institutions. More than 800 couples walked down the aisle on Easter Sunday in one of the largest mass marriage ceremonies in South Africa since the outbreak of COVID-19. They were part of mass nuptials organized by the International Pentecostal Holiness Church, which has about 3 million members who believe that polygamous unions are authorized by the Bible. The events take place at Easter in December and during celebrations in September of the church's founding in 1962. Reuters says one of the ceremonies took place at the Jerusalem congregation about 62 miles north of Johannesburg. Current wives wore colorful attire, while first-time brides wore traditional white dresses. And with that, we wrap up this edition of Africa News Tonight. I'm Yehiyas Wuhib in Washington. For all the latest development on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. On behalf of our producer, Mokbilia Baro, and our engineer, Cornelius Tanner, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.
Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station.